Good morning, Church on the Rock. All right, this is what I'm going to do, because I'm going to feed off of you guys. All the coughing and everything going on this morning, I am right with you. So my name is Rashad Cunningham. I am the pastor here at Church on the Rock. We do a good morning call and response to kind of get the juices flowing, to kind of get things going. And I need it this morning more than ever. So we got a very nice sized congregation this morning. Let's see how loud we can get. Good morning, Church on the Rock.
Good morning,
Rashad. Amen, amen. We are going to finish up our series, Building His Body, Breaking Our Barriers. Building His Body, Breaking Our Barriers. If I was to title this specific portion of Scripture, I would title it, This Is Us. I know somebody like Tyler might like that title right there. But this is really going to be how we close out the year, in a sense. We've had an amazing 7 weeks of study in Ephesians 2, and I can't wait to show you guys some of the things you've learned and may not have even realized it as we get into this sermon. But we're going to be in Ephesians 2, verses 19 through 22. Ephesians 2, verses 19 through 22. And if I pause and you have to hear me drink some water or something, give me grace, everybody. Give me grace. So let's just start with the scriptures first. Ephesians 2, 19, Paul says, "So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household." He says, "Having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together is growing into a holy temple in the Lord." And he says, "In whom you also are being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit." This entire sermon is about who the church is. This entire passage of Scripture is about what and who the church is. If you've been with us over the last 6 weeks, all we got to do is go back to verse 19 to open this up to see this right here. In verse 19, it says that you were strangers and you were aliens. Go to Ephesians 2, verse 19 for me real quick, Corey. It says that you were strangers and you were aliens. And let's just start there. I'm not going to get to my first point, but this is how, if you're a guest and this is your first time here, first of all, we thank you. Normally, I open up that way, but I'm a little all over the place. We praise you for being here, because you could be anywhere else this morning. And for whatever reason, God nudged you, or some family member brought you, or maybe you're in town for the holidays, but you are here worshiping God with us, and we praise God for you this morning. But we've went over the last 6 weeks talking about who we were prior to Christ. And right here, it kind of sums up the beginning of Ephesians 2. It says, you were strangers and you were aliens. The word strangers there is referring to never not being known. I know that's a double negative, but never not being known. You were never at any time known when you were a stranger. Before Christ, you were not known. We saw that earlier. You were dead. You were devilish. You were dirty. You were strangers. You were on the outside looking in. Then it says you were aliens. A better understanding of that is maybe you were among God's people, but you weren't one of God's people. Maybe you came to church and you were inside the congregation, but you didn't actually believe in Christ as your Lord and Savior. Paul says, if that's where you are today or that's where you've been, you were an alien. I kind of think about family reunions. Everybody been to family reunions before? In my family, we get shirts. We get them big Hey Kool-Aid shirts, like the big red Hey Kool-Aid, and it says like the Cunningham family or the Crawford family on the front. And you invite you invite friends, you invite, you know, whatever. Everybody can come. Everybody can eat. Everybody can eat in my family. Everybody can play some spades. Everybody can play some horseshoes, cornhole, whatever you do at your family reunion. But not everybody can take that picture. At the very end, when everybody get together and everybody's scrunching in all like this and everybody's got their shirts on, not everybody, like you may come to that family reunion, you may eat, you may enjoy some of the fellowship and all that, but you can't take the picture because you don't have that privilege. You're not family. Yes, you've ate with us. Yes, you've played games with us. You may have been the MVP of the kickball game, right? But you cannot take the picture because you are not family. You don't have that privilege. That's what an alien would have been in this context. Somebody among the people, Maybe I dwell with them, I dwell among them, but I don't have the same benefits or the same privileges as those who are actually God's children. Think about that today. Because I can tell you right now, with a congregation this size, there are some people in here right now who are in here with us but are not God's children. Think about that today. That was a great sound effect. That was like a perfect sound effect, however that worked out. Amen for the sound effect. But some of us come to church, we go through the religious practices and do all the things, but we really don't have an actual relationship with Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. So you are an alien, according to Paul. You have not relied on Jesus for your salvation. So you live among us, but you're not one of us, as they say. And that's the reality. It's a tough reality, but that's a real reality. So for those of us who have accepted Christ as our Lord and Savior, I want to point to a couple of things that we are. And for those of us who haven't, I want you to see who we are so that you can get rid of the stereotypes of what you think we're supposed to be versus what we really are. It's going to be a real interesting sermon. So my first point is this. We are citizens of the same kingdom. My mouth is getting a little dry. Give me one. This is the first time I've done this right here. I feel like I need to do like Coca-Cola commercial or something. Like, doo-doo-doo-doo-doo. Okay, so look, we are citizens of the same kingdom. If you have received Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you have repented of your sins and believed in Christ as your Lord and Savior, we are the same citizens of the same, excuse me, citizens of the same kingdom. There's no difference between you, me, you, 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 you. We are citizens of the same kingdom because of his blood. Simply because of his blood. Nothing, we didn't have to take a test. You know, like to be a citizen of the United States, you got to take a test, you got to go through this, you got to go through that, you got to jump through all these hoops to become a citizen of the United States, right? Jesus Christ says, no, that doesn't work that way in the kingdom. You just have to believe in me as your Lord and Savior. You just have to trust that I died for your sins and you become a citizen of the kingdom like the rest of the saints. Isn't that great? Isn't that magnificent? Because when you think about it, I love how like you go from being on the outside looking in, or maybe you're on the inside feeling left out. What this does here, it says that there's no difference among us. Barriers have been broken, and this is who we are. This is who we are. Citizens of the same kingdom. Same, we have the same status. You're not above me. I'm not above you. We can work in harmony here. We can work in peace. Maybe you just accepted Christ last Sunday. Guess what? You got the same position I do. You see how that works? Because we are citizens of the same kingdom. We came in the same way, believing in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And it's funny. I like this because you go from being a stranger and an alien to the church and to Christ and to God, to being a stranger and an alien to the world. Corey, give me 1 Peter 2. Give me 1 Peter 2. Look at this real quick. Peter says this in 1 Peter 2:11. I'm sorry about that, Corey. I just kind of jumped to it real quick. Peter says this in 1 Peter 2:11. Or we can go Philippians real quick. Stay right there. Look, we'll go Philippians. Look at this though. Look. Our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So look at this. I don't care if you're an American citizen. I don't care if you're from Zimbabwe. I don't care if you're from Germany. I don't care if you're from Avon, boo, or Brownsburg. Sorry about that, man. Hey, my bad. Look, or Brownsburg, Kokomo, California. I don't care where you geographically reside. This is not your home. You are a citizen of heaven when you've believed in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. So let's think what that should change in our paradigm. What should that change about us? I ain't worried about this world. My job while I'm here is to reach as many lost souls in the world to get them to be a citizen of heaven the same way I am, to be a citizen of the same kingdom. There's a lot of fallen things in this world, y'all. There's a lot of brokenness in this world. There's a lot of hate, a lot of sin, a lot of harm, a lot of pain in this world, right? But this is our temporary dwelling place. I told you guys last week I went to that hotel with the mouse, right? Well, when I first got there, check this out. I was happy. I was like, man, they got this nice little whirlpool tub. I'm about to take a bath and just kind of relax with some bubbles, right? Like, I can't fit in my bathtub necessarily. It's really, like, narrow, but this was like the whirlpool one. So I'm about to get in here and enjoy it, and I was all for it, right? And I was enjoying myself, and then I realized it just wasn't home. It was good for a night. Then I was, like, ready to go home. It's the same thing here. You may come across some highs in life. You may have some great times where you buy a new car, buy a new house, graduate, amen. For those who graduated, you know, you graduate, got that nice education, all those good things. But all of those things will pass away. All of those things will pass away. And what do you have left if you don't believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? You have nothing left. There's nothing to look forward to. So as citizens of the kingdom, we say our citizenship is in heaven. I'm just passing through. I'm just here temporarily. I'm literally a stranger and an alien here on earth. I'm E.T., y'all. Phone home. Think about that. We got 1 Peter 2:11 now. I want you to see what Peter said in 1 Peter 2:11. He literally says, I want you to be strangers. And look, beloved, I urge you as aliens and strangers to what? Abstain from fleshly lusts which wage war against the soul. He's saying abstain from the world. He's saying be an alien and a stranger to what you used to be familiar with. In the same way that you was an alien and a stranger to the church and to God and to the things of God and to the commonwealth and the citizenship, now he's saying, in Christ Jesus, I want you to abstain from the fleshly lusts which wage war against the soul. Be a stranger and an alien to the world. But to do that, you got to actually have something going on inside of you. You see, I'm going to go back to where we began. You don't work yourself for salvation, but works comes out of salvation. If you've believed in Christ as your Lord and Savior, something's going to happen on the inside. Change is going to take place on the inside, and you will be waging war against the fleshly lusts. You won't be able to just fall into that mess and roll around and feel comfortable in it like you was when you was a sinner. But as a saint, as somebody who is saved, we still fall, but we get up. We get out of it. We like, I got to get this stuff off of me. We are like David, like Father, like rinse me clean. Examine me, Father. That's where you start kind of determining if you're a citizen of the kingdom or if you're just a sinner who's just dwelling among us and hasn't really surrendered your life over to Christ. Think about, just kind of go back through your life. And when you fall into sin, because it's a trap, it's temptation, it's a trap. It's the devil trying to work at you. It's the lust of the flesh trying to work at you. When you fall into that trap, do you stay there and roll around? Or do you get up out of it and ask God to forgive you and confess your sins and want to be cleansed of that filthiness? That's a citizen of heaven. So we are citizens of the same kingdom. We're no longer strangers and aliens to God and the church and church folk, but we are strangers and aliens to the world and the worldly things. Also, he goes on to say, we are siblings of the same household. We are siblings of the same household. Go back to Ephesians 2:19 for me, Corey. Ephesians 2:19. So he says, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens of the same kingdom with the saints and are of God's household. We are siblings. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. Literally, blood siblings, right? Like, we may not have came from the same mother, but we got the same father if you have received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Remember, it says in Ephesians 2:13 that we were brought near by the what? By the blood of Christ. So if you've received Christ, if you believe in Christ, if you've given your life over to Christ, then we got a blood connection. His name is Jesus Christ. We're blood brother and sister. We're blood siblings. I don't care what church you go to. You could just be here passing by and you got your own church, but we are blood. We got the same DNA. His name is Jesus Christ. We are siblings. And you know why I like the word siblings there? Check this out, sis. I can't pick my family. Right? We got holidays coming up, right? Some of y'all are already groaning. I know cousin so-and-so. I know cousin so-and-so or auntie so-and-so gonna be there. But that's my family, right? That's my family. But think about this. Think about this. Let's go there. Let's go there. Let's think about that. You can't pick your church family either. You can try. You can try to determine who's a sibling and who's not. And guess what you're going to do? You're going to jump from church to church to church to church, because everywhere you go, you're going to be trying to look for this perfect congregation of siblings who won't step on your toes, who won't rub you the wrong way, who will agree with everything that you agree with. And what you're going to find out is that ain't how it works. You cannot choose your family. Think about that. So if that's the case, now I want to talk to those who may not believe in Jesus Christ or who don't have that relationship. Now you might have a better understanding of why we wrestle as believers with surrendering to that idea that we are siblings of the same household. You see, we never said we were perfect. In fact, so far I haven't said, we are citizens and we are siblings. I did not say we are perfect. I want you to understand that, because there's a reality to church of breaking our barriers. I'm different than many of you. You're different than me. And yet God has put us together the way he saw fit, the way he saw fit in perfection to raise us up together, and says, you're siblings of the same household. Act like it. Act like it. We have the same father. I may not completely agree with everything about you or you about me. I may think you need to be further in your walk, or you may tell me I'm too high in my, whatever, we family. Let's figure it out. But see, a lot of us can't even do that with physical family. A lot of us can't even do that with physical family. I tell people all the time, if you want to be a witness to your family, love them. Love them when they step on your toes, because they're gonna have to figure out what's different about you. Why is it my other cousin won't talk to me after I wronged him, but you keep reaching out to me, you keep loving me? Well, it's because the way God put this thing together, I already love my church family no matter what they do. For sure I'm gonna love you, cousin, auntie, uncle, grandma. We're siblings of the same household, y'all. And I would hope that would change the way we interact with each other. I would hope I would be able to forgive you just based on what Christ has done so that we could even be together. Do you guys even realize the problems we have in the church are all a result of us wanting to come together and glorify God? Like, our differences we would never have if we didn't decide to come together. Like, can you put that together? Like, I would never have a problem with anything ministry-wise or how we're doing this or how we're doing that if we weren't committed to coming together to have these problems. And yet we let those problems be the things that run us out the church. We'll look at each other and get bent out of shape over being rubbed the wrong way and run out the church and never come back and don't want to gather again on Sunday morning because of church folks. And it's like, but don't you realize, like, we have problems because we're trying to do what God told us to do? Diverse cultures, diverse ethnicities, diverse backgrounds coming together in one place to glorify him and be a light to the community. It's going to take time. We can't even do it in real families, let alone this, right? Some of us didn't know each other 4 years ago, when here we are sacrificing everything we have to try to be the best for God that we can be as a family. So I give you the benefit of the doubt in anything you're doing. I give you the benefit of the doubt in any of your mistakes. I give you grace because God gave me grace. I give you grace because I know you're here. You're here because you love him. So I'm okay with you trying things and trying. It's a safe atmosphere. You can come here and serve and mess up. You can come here and serve and fail. You can come here and walk with us and fall. And we are your brothers and sisters in Christ. We get it. We get it. And if we're being honest, we've either fell or we're still falling right now. And we need you as much as you need us. That's what family is. That's what family does. We stick it out when it's hard. We show up to the hospital when somebody's down. We pray for the person who just lost a family member, or somebody going through a divorce, or somebody going through some other stuff. We stick it out through all of that because we're siblings of the same household. I didn't choose you, you didn't choose me, but God chose us. And if he chose you, that's enough for me. That's enough for me. So look at this. We are citizens of the same kingdom. We are siblings of the same household. And that word household in the Greek is nice. It's where we get the, well, oikos. I don't know if anybody's ever seen the Greek yogurt oikos because it's a circle, but that's what it is. It's like a household is your oikos. It's your circle, your 5-9 family. That's your oikos. This right here, we have kind of a circle here. It's an oikos of believers, a household of believers gathered together. So we are siblings of the same household. And my next point right here, we are stones of the same building. Now that one, we're stones. And I ain't talking like Chicago. I don't know if y'all familiar, but there's a gang called Stones. We ain't that. We are living stones. Living stones, as it says. But here's the thing. Christ is the cornerstone. We just sang that song. Corey, give me verse 20 on Ephesians 2 right there. It says, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being a cornerstone. Now let's go back to New Testament time. Check this out. When they built the house back then, the cornerstone was the standard. The cornerstone was the measure. They laid the cornerstone first. It was the perfect stone, right? It had no flaw. This was the cornerstone. And based on that stone, that's how they grabbed their bricks and determined which ones would be a good fit and which ones would not. That's how they built from there. It was literally the foundation of the foundation. The cornerstone was the most important stone of the household. Christ is the cornerstone for our household, for our temple. That's what Christ is. He is the measure, not the person sitting next to you right now. Look to the side. Look at each other real quick. Look, that is not your measure. That is not your measure. So when you come in here, quit looking at this person, quit looking at that person, quit looking at this person, determining whether they're Christian enough or not Christian enough, whether they got the right clothes on or not enough tats, too many tats, too many. Stop looking at each other as stones. Look at the cornerstone as your measurement. That's what he is. He's the measure. He's the standard. Not the one to the side, not the pastor. Don't compare yourself to me. That's a low-level comparison. I'm just gonna let y'all know right now. Compare yourself to the cornerstone. He's the measure, he's the standard that this house is being built on. That's why sanctification, the lifelong process of God pulling stuff off of you so that you can be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect, that's what sanctification is about, making you look more like the cornerstone. So you know what that means? That means all of us is some jacked up stones to start off with that he's chiseling and working on to get perfect to fit into this house. Having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone. So when you came to Christ, when you came to Christ, you weren't this perfect stone. You was cracked. Matter of fact, I don't know how stones work, but they may need to add some stuff to make you a whole stone. Like you was not Christ. That's not what you were. That's not what you are even today. So how dare you look at another stone and judge that stone according to what you look like, forgetting to judge yourself according to what he looks like. Girl, I knew you were going to say something eventually. We need to add Christ to our stone. We need to allow the hands of the great architect God to take our stone and form us. Ryan, I don't need you to look like me, bro. That's not discipleship. And that's where we get it wrong. This was our discipleship week, right? In our five-nine families. I don't need to look at you and be like, bro, you want to be a Christian? Be like me. Listen to my album, Hot Album. That'll get you right. You need to use alliteration every time you talk, even when you ain't preaching. And that's not discipleship. That's trying to make a Rashad follower. We're supposed to make Christ followers. So look at the example in the Gospels, which means you got to open up your Bible. Look at the example in the Gospels of what a perfect stone looks like, and not only guide that brother into walking alongside you to look like him, but remind yourself you don't look like him yet. We are stones of the same building. You know, last week we said Jesus is our peace, right? Let me open this up for you guys. So the word peace, shalom in the Hebrew, it means whole. It means whole. It means to bring to whole, like a full wholeness, nothing lacking. Jesus is our whole. He's our peace. Look at this. If Jesus is the cornerstone and he's building this holy temple, he's building this building, he's looking for it to be whole, right? No cracks. So what is he doing? He is our peace. He's working inside of you through the Holy Spirit to make you whole. It's funny how we jump from Jesus is our peace, and Paul's next thought is talking about how we as believers are the bricks. We weren't whole, but he's making us whole. We were holy, like holes and all kinds of stuff in our stones, but he's trying to make us holy, like himself in heaven, right? So it says that it says right here, Christ Jesus himself being a cornerstone. Go to the next verse. And then it goes on to say, in whom the whole building, that's every single believer, the whole building is what? Being fitted together. Think about that. Being means it's happening, right? It's not done. So anybody who thinks they've arrived, you haven't. You haven't. God is still fitting us together. You ever seen that process or thought about that process? We're all these different chiseled, cracked stones that he's trying to individually make whole and then trying to corporately put together. So there's going to be some rubbing, some tugging, but God says he will complete what he starts. So here's the thing. You might not get along with everybody in here today, but you will eventually. God's going to have his way. Be patient with each other. Be patient with your church citizens, your church siblings, your church stones. He promises he's going to finish the work. That brother or sister that just can't get it right, be patient with God. Let God continue to work on that stone so that he's a perfect fit for the building that he's creating. Let the architect be the architect. Quit trying to tell the architect what to do. You ain't God and you ain't the cornerstone. Church family. And when we do that, outsiders looking in see that and say, I don't want nothing to do with that. I don't want nothing to do with that. Because all I'm seeing is you telling your brother in Christ that he ain't good enough because he don't look like you. But what if I said, brother, I'm not good enough? Well, you the preacher. Oh, well. I'm not the cornerstone, though. So he's still working on me. He's still chiseling at me. But, man, you get up every Sunday. That don't mean I ain't going through something today, this morning, more than a sickness. I'm being chiseled. I'm being worked on. The same way as my brothers and sisters in here. If you're not a believer, please don't get it twisted. We are not perfect. We're broken. And that's why you deal with the things that they try to stereotype us with, saying that, oh, all church people are judgmental. No, our church people are broken, being worked on, trying to figure out how to balance this thing of Christ is positionally we are saints, but physically we're still here. We're still struggling with that ourselves. So when you come in, just stick around long enough to see what the real church looks like. And you'll see a whole bunch of stones being worked on, but being fitted together to become his holy temple. I like what it says right here. It says the whole building is being fitted together and is growing into a holy temple, meaning we're not there yet. We're not a holy temple yet. We're a building that's growing into a holy temple. We have a destination. We are guaranteed in the Bible when it's all said and done, that's what we will be, a holy temple in the Lord. But we're not there yet. We are living stones. We are growing stones, but we're not there yet. So it talked about the foundation on the apostles. It said the foundations being on the apostles and the prophets, and it says Christ is the cornerstone. I want to take a quick moment to give you this before I go any further. These last seven weeks have been amazing, and a lot of it may have seemed repetitive to you. Like, man, he's talking about salvation. He's talking about salvation. He's talking about sin. He's talking about sin. And, well, I'm going to talk about that every week. Y'all just got to deal with that. That's the gospel, okay? But look at this. I want you to see something special that you may not have realized. Corey, give me that first word right there. All right, so look at these words right here. These are theologies, okay? This is a part of theology when you do any kind of systematic theology, these are things that you would study in a Bible course, in a seminary, whatever. You may not even be able to pronounce some of these words, right? Like harmartiology, Christian anthropology, theology proper, soteriology, Christology, pneumatology, ecclesiology. Let me just show you something real quick. Harmartiology, study of sin. Study of sin. Week one, we said, and you are dead in your sins and trespasses. We started to really unpack what sin was, didn't we, Rena? And as a result of that, you've done a little bit of a study in harmartiology. Christian anthropology is the study of you in regards to God, right? And we said, you're dead in your sins and trespasses. You by nature were a child of wrath. That is what you were in relation to God. You by nature were a child of wrath. That was week one as well. Theology proper, but God being rich in mercy, loving you with a love that is a great love. Y'all remember that when I said the but gods, I get to shouting, right? The but God there, that's theology proper, okay? It's the study of the Father God, right? Okay, look at this. Soteriology, the study of salvation. You were saved, not by your works, but by what Christ did on the cross, right? So you also have studied soteriology, the study of salvation. Christology, by the blood of Christ, we were brought near. He broke the barriers. The study of Christ. Pneumatology, we have access to God through the Spirit. And ecclesiology, the study of the church, is what we're talking about today. You've learned a whole lot if you've been taking notes and actually apply it to your life. You didn't have to go no college courses, no seminary. And you ain't got to use those words. I just want you to see when they try to talk over you sometimes with these big words and these big ologies, you learned it in 7 weeks. You've been learning it for the last 7 weeks. This is the foundation we're building with here at Church on the Rock. And all of it points back to Christ. All of that points back to one thing, Christ. So when it says the apostles and the prophets being the foundation and Christ being the cornerstone, it's looking at this house or this temple, this dwelling place that's being built on the teaching. He looked at Peter and said, on this, when Peter said, you're Christ, you're the Messiah, the Son of God, he said, I'm going to build my church on this rock, this statement of faith, this theology. So what we've been doing over the last 7 weeks is building this church, this congregation, these citizens, these siblings, this household on that rock, on that foundation of teaching. And I just want you to take a moment to see for yourself what you've learned. This is what you've learned. This is what we're teaching. This is the foundation we're building up on. And this is what we want you to go out and proclaim. Not in these big words, but simply saying this one statement. Christ is Lord and Savior, and without him, you are on your way to an eternal damnation called hell. With him, and with him alone, you can reside and dwell with the Father, with the Creator of the universe in heaven. That's it. That's it. You ain't got to know all of that. Just give him the gospel. Just share the gospel. Just share why you have hope, if you have hope. So we've built on this, we're citizen sibling stones, and finally, we are sections of the same dwelling place. We are sections of the same dwelling place. Go to that last verse, Ephesians 2:22. Look at this as we close the chapter out. In whom you are also being built together into what? A dwelling of God in the Spirit. Now, let me show you. Ephesians 2:1, we said that you were dead in your sins and trespasses. That's like going back to Genesis, to the garden, to Adam and Eve, to where they disobeyed God. Sin entered the world, and it separated them, and it caused a barrier, right? And they could no longer dwell with God in the cool of the day. That's Ephesians 2:1. Ephesians 2:22, we are being built together into a dwelling of God where he dwells with us again. That's what redemption is about. It's about being able to be dwelling, actually, physically, dwelling with our Creator, with our Father in heaven. It's to actually have him dwelling among us, dwelling even in us through the Spirit. Do you realize that's the whole point? That's why we cry out to you every Sunday. That's why we show up here. That's why we worship, is because we want you to understand that this is temporary. And this ain't even, this is not, this building, this is not the dwelling place. You are the dwelling place. This building does not have God in it unless God's people are in it. He's not necessarily just concerned about filling a structure. He wants to fill souls. You are why God is in this place. You. So I want you to just actually ask yourself a couple questions. Just this is who we are. First of all, for those of you who are believers, do you believe it? Do you actually believe that God is working on you day and night? Day and night. When you're asleep, he's still working on you. Working on your family, working on your oikos, working on those believers around you. He's working on you to chisel you, to make you a perfect stone for this building that he's preparing, that he's putting together. We say building his body, breaking our barriers. Josh said the very first week that it's not what we're doing to do that, it's what he's doing through us to do that. That is the mission of Church on the Rock. That is who we are. God, through us, building his body up, chiseling these stones, making sure they fit together over time, and God, through us, breaking the barriers that we have between us and those who are not believers, not by condemning them to hell, but by trying to love them to heaven. This is us, and specifically, this is Church on the Rock. When I took over and we decided what the direction was, it came out of this chapter. Do you believe in this? Do you actually believe in this? Do you actually believe that God is working through you and working on you to convert as many of those in the world as he can, as he possibly can through you, to be believers, to be added to this building, to be citizens in this kingdom? Can you look to your left and to your right and see somebody who has hurt you, who has wronged you, even in this church congregation, and let it go and forgive as a result of the fact that you understand y'all the same citizens, the same siblings, the same stones? Can you do that? Or does it take more? And I've told you this, if what Christ did is not enough to forgive, then you'll never forgive. If what Christ has done on the cross is not enough for you to forgive somebody, you will never forgive. For those of you who are not believers, maybe one thing that's kept you out of the church is what you think the church is about. I promise you, this church and every other church that's doing it the right way is about Christ and Christ alone. All we're worried about is the cornerstone. That's it. There's a whole lot of other stuff that you see. You see the cups, the different events we have, but all of it is because Christ is the cornerstone. All of it. We had an amazing ugly Christmas sweater party. I wasn't that. Shout out to the champion. But even that is a matter of fellowship, because Christ has commanded in his word that we gather as often as possible. It's all centered around Christ, everything we do. So please don't come here thinking that we're going to look at you and say you need to look just like us. What we're going to do is we're going to look at you and say we want you to look more like Christ. And that's all that we're striving to do. We're going to fail you. We're going to let you down. But we promise you that his word says he will never fail you and he will never let you down. He is a solid rock. And that's why we call this Church on the Rock. I'm asking somebody this morning to hear this message and let it convict you. I'm asking somebody this morning to actually let these words speak to you. Talk to us about what it looks like to start that journey, to start that relationship, to join us, to be built with us. All right. So as we get ready to stand up to sing this song, please just meditate on that right there. The fact that the church, if you're not a believer, the church is not perfect. And we just want you to come be with us. Let him build you. Let him work on you. But also, if you are a part of the church, The only way God is in this room is if God is with and in us. Redemption is this. This is what redemption is. Getting back to dwelling with God. That's redemption. So as you look at these words, as you sing these words, think about that. The whole point of all of this is God fighting day and night to bring his creation back into dwelling with him. That's the gospel. I love you all.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to this podcast. If you would like to learn more about our church, please visit our website at www.churchontherockbb.com.